In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The reading of the first Sunday of the Blessed Great Fast, the Church arranged it for us in order to draw our attention that at the beginning of the fast, in order for us to be able to offer a fast that is acceptable before God, we have to watch ourselves that we should be only worshiping and following one God. Of course, we utter these words in the creed every time we come to the church. We believe in one God. But believing in God is something, and following Him with a steadfast heart is something totally different. We know that there are other masters that can domain the life of any person. We know that for the children of the world, the love of money and the lusts of the flesh, all of these things take control over them. But not only the children of God are tempted to worship more than one master. Even the children of God who are in His presence are also not safe from being tempted of such a deception. That while we assume that we are worshiping one God, other masters come and creep inside our souls and take hold of us and subdue us in order for us to worship them as well. Let us go and review some of these masters that might take hold of us. And we should be looking inside and see if we have any one of these. It is the time for us now to cast them out before we journey this spiritual journey during the Great Fast. The question is God only my only master or not? For Adam and Eve, their desire for knowledge made them to transgress. Another master crept inside, that they wanted to know what exactly God knows. The tree was the tree of knowing evil and good. They were not satisfied by knowing what is good. Their craving for knowledge took hold of them. And Satan was able to deceive them when he said, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Yes, their eyes were opened, but I'm sure that they regretted this so much. How much sometimes we find ourselves tempted for knowledge, to know everything, even this kind of knowledge that might be harmful to us. And the internet nowadays is offering us this tool where we can go and navigate. I'm not satisfied with what we know as good, but we want also to know what is evil. Let us have a look on it. I'm not going to share in this. I will just have a look. I just, out of curiosity, I want to know what people are exactly doing in the world around me. The craving to know the news of others and what this person said to this person and what is going on in the church nowadays and what's happening in Egypt and what is the media is saying and what are the politicians are saying. This craving for knowledge sometimes creep inside and become a master. And we serve this craving for knowledge more than the time we serve God. It is the time to look inside and see, do we have this desire for knowledge that turns into a vile passion that takes control of us? Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of the Almighty God Himself, but they were not aware, they were not careful, and that's why they were tempted. In order to worship another master, this is the desire for knowledge. For King Solomon, the wisest man in all generations, he was also tempted to have another master. This is the desire for pleasures. This was his distraction. As he himself describes how he felt when he says, "Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure." Everything looked innocent at the beginning. What is wrong about having maid servants, having wife and wives, having palace and palaces? What is wrong about being rich? This was not something wrong, but he made this a master for himself. Whatever my eye desired, I did not withhold them. Something that also we have to look and see. Are we tempted to seek pleasures? is what we are minded with at all times is fun. Sometimes this is the word that is mostly repeated on the tongues of our children. We want to have fun. Nothing wrong with having fun. But to which degree, at which time, on which cost? Things that also we have to watch. Otherwise, maybe this desire for pleasures that we assume is innocent might take control and take hold of our souls and our minds. King Solomon was the one who judged the children of Israel with the law of God. He was the wisest man ever lived. Still, he had another master that crept inside his heart and took hold of him. For the Pharisees and the scribes, keeping the right was more important than mercy and justice. They were all the time focused and concerned that we are going to do the right as it is written exactly in the book. This is more important than being just, being merciful. As the Lord rebuked them through his prophet Hosea and said, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." What exactly are you thinking? If you come to the church and worship before God and complete the rite, at the end of the day, we cannot be merciful. We cannot be charitable. We cannot be meek enough. This is something that we have to be careful with. The Pharisees, they were the people who were carrying the word of God and explain it before the people. They served God 24/7, as they assumed. But another master, they were not aware that it took hold of them. That the right is more important than anything else. I will complete whatever I'm supposed to do, even on other expenses, that's more things that are more important. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. This man who was the Jewish person, who was laid wounded on the floor, a priest and a Levite passed by. They didn't care much about him. What they cared is the right. If I touch a person who is bleeding, I will defile myself, then I cannot serve in the temple. It was more important for them to go to the temple to offer the sacrifice more than to stop for minutes and take care of the wounded man. This is another master, and this is a master that tempts the people in the church that I complete the rite and I don't care about anything else, and I'm assuming myself that I am now righteous before God. Another example is Martha, the sister of Miriam, and both of them, they are the family of Lazarus, as we all know them. In the presence of the Lord himself, she had another master that was taking control over her mind, that to serve and prepare the food for the people who are there. Even she came to the Lord Christ complaining against her sister, that she is not helping her. Martha was distracted with much serving. Is service distract me from God? Yet this is true, it can happen. Service can distract us from God. As Bob Shinoda says, the people who built the ark, they did not get inside, they were birched. Even if I build the church, at the end of the day, I am not inside. I am not watching over the purity of my heart. I cannot make it. Service sometimes makes us to feel like we are okay before God. It doesn't matter that I repent, I confess my sins, or I really examine my heart. It doesn't matter. I'm a servant. I go to the church every day. I'm a priest in the church, and I'm doing this and this and this and this. Service sometimes distracts us from God if we lose the focus. The service is offered to God. Our service should start and end at the altar here, where we partake of the holy body and the precious blood. If the service is taking hold of me, this can distract me away from God as well. If the service would make me to feel envious of the people around me, I go in fights and contentions for the sake of the service, then truly I'm not serving God, I'm serving anything else. Martha was rebuked by the Lord when he told her that the need is for one. The need is for him. I come to serve him, not to serve anybody else or serve even the church. How many years we spend serving, as Bob Shinoda says, how many years we spend our life serving the church of God when we will start serving the God of the church. Another example, the disciples, the apostles themselves, we're tempted with this kind of thinking, who is the eminent, preeminent among them? It was another distraction. While they are following Christ, they look to one another, and then they started to get into who is the first, who is the second, let us arrange ourselves to know the rank. For this distraction, the Lord got them back to the right way when he said to them, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. This what should take hold of your minds, not who is the first among you. St. John the Beloved writes in his third epistle to the people in Ephesus, writing to his disciple Gaius, speaking about one of the people in the church, his name is Diotrephes. And he says about him, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among you, this man does not accept us. When I will come, I will call to mind his deeds. St. John the Beloved took notice of this man who is tempted while he is in the church of God to just think about himself being the preeminent and start fighting for this position that I should be here. This is what I'm entitled for. If I do not receive it, there is something wrong going on around me in the church. This temptation, this master to be preeminent among the people, making myself or thinking of self that I am better than others, is something that also we should be examining our hearts, lest we have this master taking control while we are not aware. And then another example, the last one we will bring it today, is Ananias and Sapphira. Those people, they wanted to offer. They went and sold their land. But there was another master that was really in control. That I want to be praised by men. I love money. I don't want just to give it for nothing. I will keep some for myself. I will gain the praise from the apostles. And meanwhile, I'm keeping some money for myself. This cost them their lives. This master, the mammoth, money, something that's very dangerous if we allow it to take hold of us. It's another subject to talk about, how do I know if I am tempted to follow and worship money as my God. That's something maybe we'll discuss it in a later time. Let us, during these days of the great fast, at the beginning of the fast, we follow the instruction of the church. No one can serve two masters. I have to set my heart straight. This is my goal. This is my master. Not because I'm in the church, then I'm not tempted to have another master. We have to be very careful. Any one of us can be deceived with one of these. May the Lord to give us a pure heart that's only full of His love, worshiping Him alone as our God and Savior. To Him is the glory forever and ever. Amen.